We're now beginning our coverage of Disrupt Land Forces, which, as you know, we'll be covering throughout the week on 3CR Breakfast. And this morning we're joined with in the studio by Mim and Jenny, who are part of the care team for the Disrupt Land Forces events, and they help coordinate support for activists to continue their work and stay connected. Welcome to 3CR, Mim and Jenny.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks so much for coming on. Can you start by telling us, what is the care team? What does that mean? What does the work involve?
So we're just a group who help people stay connected and help people, feel connected within the movement. We provide food for people. We drop people off to doctor's appointments, pet sitting, anything that you could kind of feel like would make your life a little bit easier when you're burnt out or injured or, you don't have a lot of funds going at the moment. We have a whole bunch of different people who offer a bunch of different things, like grocery shopping, anything really,
Which is so important when people are out there trying to fight for change but are still doing their day jobs and are still doing their own care work for families. And so it's great that you can do this work. Mim, how did you get involved? Why did you decide to get on board with this team or coordinate, in fact?
Well, I got involved in the original care team, which is the NAM activist care team, and through the pickets, and I started just dropping off people's food at people's houses and doing that. And then the organisers of DLF approached the care team and asked if we would like to provide that for DLF. And so over the past few months, I've gotten a team together of all sorts of people, people from the NAM activist care team, and also people from, just every group in Melbourne. And, Jenny and I and a couple of other people have created a roster for all the things for DLF. And, we've just gone from there.
And what about you, Jenny? Why was it important to get involved in the care team and also to stand up against weapons manufacturing at DLF?
Absolutely. I think care has always been very interesting and important to me when we're talking about activism, when we're realising, I think we were all thrown into this very early on, 11 months ago, and it felt like we'd be doing this for a few months and we could throw everything at it and we would be able to achieve something. And slowly we realised how long this is going to happen for. We realised how long we're going to have to be making structures to, fight against weapons and making structures to look after each other. And so slowly realising that sustainability is going to have to be something we're considering a lot instead of being able to throw absolutely everything we've got and achieve something in a short time frame, realizing that, actually looking after each other and thinking about structures that look after each other and setting up systems that help look after and support people, because, we've all realized how massive burnout is in this space. We've realized how exhausting it is to face violence and to be asking over and over again for things that should feel so obvious and so basic. I think I got involved just to figure out how we provide that support to people and to each other and to mostly my friends and my community, because it's heartbreaking seeing everything you see online and then seeing the people around you that you so dearly love also being facing so much violence and getting so burnt out. And so it mostly just started for me as a way of looking after those people that I love dearly.
And which I think is why so many people are out there at Disrupt Land Forces, that it is about community and, looking out for people. And one thing it seems like we're seeing in the Disrupt Land Forces event is one of the things on the website is that it's making space for cultural, social, tactical and intellectual cross-pollination, and this idea of sort of building solidarity. Is this something that you've noticed at Disrupt Land Forces or at recent rallies or pickets that you've been to, that we're seeing a lot of diverse communities coming together to fight for the same values or similar causes? What would you say, Mim?
Yeah, definitely. I think at DLF we've got the people from Extinction Rebellion. There's obviously the refugee encampment that we've all been a part of as well. And so I think a lot of people are realising that all of our issues are very interconnected, and I think everyone is, keen to get out and help other people with what they're struggling with. And I think that that's been a really beautiful thing of DLF and also the care team, is that we can extend that past what started as something from the Palestinian movement, and then, extend that to other struggles across the country, First Nations struggles, the Tamil struggle, and the climate struggle as well. I think, We're all in this fight together, and I think it's really important that we're all working together, and it's been a really nice thing to see.
Yeah, and I guess that's one thing that can offset this sort of burnout, is that people coming together on different struggles and sharing the load in some way. One thing I guess that comes to mind when we're focused on care is that, in the mainstream media we're seeing all the coverage of Disrupt Land Forces focused on, how many people are going to be disruptive, and, police using anti-terror legislation, and this idea that it's going to be some sort of violent event. Can you sort of shift that framing for us when we see that it's about sort of solidarity? There's festival actions going on. It's about care. What would you have to say, Jenny, to this sort of problematic framing?
Yeah, I think it is exhausting to see us so continually framed as the people who are being divisive or being violent or being escalatory, when we know why we feel divided at the moment, and that's because there's a weapons fair in Melbourne, and we know why we're talking about violence, and that's because there is a weapons fair in Melbourne that is selling, tools of mass violence, mass destruction, mass destruction to really powerful people. And so I think for us to be able to reframe ourselves as who we really are, which is people who are passionate about liberation for people and passionate about care for each other, and whether that's the people directly in front of us who we're working with or care for people across the planet, because we know that our liberation is connected in with theirs. And it's the same principles of care that we want to be extending to the people we're directly working with, the people we're dropping food off for and buying groceries for. It's the exact same care principles that we want to extend to people that, I've never met. I think we are fundamentally about that care for each other and care for the planet. And when we do face violence, we know where that comes from. It comes from the fact that our police are currently protecting that weapons fair, when it's clear that we don't have the appetite for this to be happening in Melbourne at the moment.
Mm. And we know that, care work is often underpaid. It's often done more by women, and we need more people involved in this movement, from what I can tell, that there's always more work to be done. Do you have any message for sort of people who aren't sure if it's for them, who might want to be involved but don't usually take on a care role? Do either of you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that it's very easy to get involved. You can look around in your own life and have your circle of people and start by cooking them a meal, or start by asking them what they need. And it's, you don't need to be part of a group as such, but I think that my vision for care is that everyone is providing these things for everyone, and we can all support each other, and mutual aid becomes like a big part of our lives. And coming back to like a real sense of community and a real sense of looking out for each other, and not just people that you know, but extending that to your neighbor or to like the non-traditional connections that you might have, someone that you might meet on the street. And I think that's a really good place to start, is just having a look around your own life and seeing like, who is it that I can make their life a little bit easier, and then in turn people will provide that for you. And I think it makes us, especially post-COVID, I think We were all feeling very disconnected, and I think it's just a really lovely way of feeling better connected. So I think, yeah, everyone should be doing care for their circle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have this vision of what activism is as beautiful, big, heroic moments, and that's fabulous. And seeing those moments definitely keeps us going. It gives us a lot of inspiration. But we like to also think about how we can be not just important but be useful. So trying to make sure that we're embedding those principles in our interpersonal lives as well, as opposed to just seeing it as some big isolated actions.
Yeah, I definitely agree that idea that you can be involved in activism and out there at the protests, but it should really be part of how you act in the workplace, at home, with your friends. Yeah. Mm. And what if listeners are interested in actually getting out there with you and doing this work at some of the rallies? Who should they get in touch with? How can they find out more?
We're actually very untraceable and very unhelpful for people. I keep going like, yeah, everyone should get involved, but I realise that there's like, we're just a group of like 20 people who just can rock up to things. So we're often at pickets and actions like that, wearing orange or purple. So if you wanted to come and chat to someone there, then, yeah, we're more than happy to get people on board. And, yeah, it would be great to see more new faces doing the care work out there.
And can you give listeners just a bit of a look at what's coming up this week for you two? What are some of the events that you'll be at and doing this work at Disrupt Land Forces?
Absolutely, yeah. We've got the opening picket tomorrow morning, which is going to be, hopefully a lot of people out there helping to disrupt people entering into the convention centre and just making sure that our voices as NAM is heard there. We've got tonight, I believe, we've got a Philippine solidarity rally. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday we've got the 6:30 p.m. vigil. We've also got the 4:30 p.m. rally to get Hanwha and Albert out of Melbourne. We have care team presences at all of those rallies. We'll be wearing orange vests or purple tape and be providing snacks and fidget toys and masks and earplugs to anybody who needs them. So absolutely always welcome to come up to us for a chat. We'd love to see people and provide care because we're always so grateful to see so many people showing up to all these amazing actions.
Mm, it makes it sound, some of that joy coming back as well into being out there. Is there anything else you want to add before we go?
No, thank you for having us. That was amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us and for doing all of this work that you do, and which is often invisible but really important. So we've been speaking with Mim and Jenny from the care team working at the Disrupt Land Forces events. And if you do want to stay in touch and see what's going on at DLF, you can also follow the Instagram page at Disrupt Wars. We'll be right back with our next segment after this message.
The biggest weapons fair in the Southern Hemisphere is coming to NAM. Land Forces will run at the Melbourne Convention Centre. All arms dealers will be there. So will we. From the 8th to the 14th of September, we are mobilising to disrupt Land Forces. This is where the generals, weapons CEOs, diplomats and defence ministers come together to do the deals that end in genocide. We plan to shut that shit down. Elbit, Lockheed, Hanwha, Boeing, Thales, Naya, the biggest weapon makers in the world, will be there to grab their piece of the genocide pie. Join the collaboration to disrupt Land Forces. We support all cultures, genders, ages, ability and protest styles. Connect with us. Disruptlandforces.org. Join the mobilisation from the 8th to the 14th of September to stop arming Israel and put a stop to this genocide shock. Disrupt Land Forces is a 3CR supporter.
You're listening to 3CR Breakfast, and we are heading into our final segment for this morning.
Nat Kalija is an educator, researcher, and organiser. Much of her work is focused on issues concerning education justice in a settler colonial state. Nat is one of the organising members of Teachers and School Staff for Palestine Victoria, a member of the NTU and a member of the Albert Out of Victoria campaign. Nat joins us this morning to speak about the upcoming action, Hang Our Albert Out of Victoria rally, due to take place as part of Disrupt Land Forces this coming Thursday, the 12th of September. Thanks for joining us again, Nat.
Thanks for having me.
Nat, I'm sure many of our listeners know that Elbit Systems is the largest supplier of weapons for the Israeli occupation forces, including killer drones and illegal weapons such as white phosphorus and cluster bombs. But what can you tell us about the Hanwha Defence Australia and its relationship with Elbit Systems?
Yeah, so Hanwha Defence Australia is a South Korean weapons manufacturing company. And so they've built a facility in the Avalon area, and they've been given funding from the government, so a contract worth up to $7 billion has been signed by the federal government to provide these funds for Hanwha to build land, the Land 400 Phase 3 project. And so they're building the infantry fighting vehicles, so they're building 129 of those for the Australian Army. And as part of that contract, Hanwha is then going to be, signing contracts with other weapons manufacturing companies to build parts or to build the technology for those vehicles. And so whatever the government's giving the money to Hanwha, and then Hanwha's deciding which companies they then engage with to build parts for these vehicles. And so what we see this as a chance for the government to create, the Avalon region, the Geelong region, becoming the epicentre of weapons manufacturing. And so seeing a lot of these companies then developing their bases there as well. So Hanwha is the beginning of something that's happening in that region, and the weapons supply chain kind of being reinforced in that area.
Yeah, and I think that just really makes it really clear for people who question, you know, what does Palestine have to do with us here in so-called Australia, or, you know, when people can't see the relationship between, like, weapons manufacturers or those factories that are located here and, genocides and other acts of violence and war overseas. It really just goes to show, like, how close it is to us.
Absolutely. And, you know, this represents the largest capability acquisition in Australian Army history, the contract with Hanwha, and it's also Victoria's largest ever land defence contract win. And so I know that sometimes these figures can become become so accustomed to hearing them. $7 billion sometimes doesn't actually sound like that much, but that's a huge amount of money. That's close to how much money public education gets across Australia in a budget. And so when you think about that, like what Lucy was saying earlier, our schools are struggling, our hospital system is struggling. We all know that when we go into them. And yet we see the government providing the largest amounts of money to these weapons manufacturing companies, and then just normalising their presence in local communities as well, and finding their ways into all of these spaces that young people are in education, to try and kind of bring them into these spaces and to get them to be thinking about future careers in weapons manufacturing and future careers in the defence force, as though these are just normal pathways into the labour force. So I think that what we're really seeing as part of us understanding this, like, horrible presence in the Avalon region is also what this means, not only for now, but in the future as well. And so by focusing on what's happening in Palestine and the genocide that's happening, that Israel is just relentlessly committing against Palestinian people, we're also seeing how this is, you know, what kinds of things are in place in this context in order to kind of secure this really horrible relationship with the military-industrial complex, and how this is going to be affecting communities here as well as globally.
Yeah, for sure. You've said a few things just now that I want to touch on. Firstly, you know, on Tuesday Breakfast and on 3CR, more broadly, we've spoken to organisations before, such as the Medical Association for Prevention of War, who have been working throughout the years, you know, trying to expose the infiltration of the military-industrial complex into our education system, which is what you were just talking about before. So just to bring it back to Hanwha, can you talk about the influence that these companies have in a bit more detail on the education of young people and their employment opportunities, and how this insidious relationship seeks to sanitise the work that they're doing?
Yeah, so Hanwha Defence Australia has, so even though their Avalon facility has just been built and that's finished now, and so they'll start building the vehicles, what they've been doing in the lead up to that facility being built is trying to normalise their presence in the region. And so often what happens in this context is that they use the education space, they use young people as an opportunity to kind of, I guess, sanitise their presence and to make their presence seem like it's not sinister. And so we really see that young people are being used as an opportunity to do that. And so they were the gold sponsor for the Science Engineering Challenge in Geelong in 2023. And that was attended by more than 400 Year 10 students from 14 schools across the region. And this information is not, like, secret. This is available on Hanwha's website. So they're advertising this as, you know, as part of their marketing campaign. So you can see that there's a lot of intention behind what they're doing. They've also presented at, like, the tech school in the Wyndham area, the Wyndham Tech School in Werribee, and that was attended by Year 10 to 12 students, and that was designed to engage students in conversations to talk about how they could step into careers in the weapons manufacturing industry. And then, you know, they also comment on the fact that young people were really surprised about that, you know, that these careers were available to them. And so they're, you know, normalising and also glorifying these seeds that they're planting in young people's minds about these opportunities that they will have. And so, you know, we see this as a, this is a really problematic relationship that they're creating for young people to have with the military-industrial complex, both now and also how these young people will end up depending on these supply chains for their future work. Mm-hmm. And then also normalising it beyond young people in the region about, you know, that it's going to create jobs. And so this idea that there's a shortage of jobs and this industry is somehow going to be a saving grace and is going to create all of these great opportunities, while these regions are suffering in so many other ways through the cost of living crisis, unaffordable housing, not being able to engage with healthcare in the ways that would be helpful for them to, education suffering. So this idea that this one industry is somehow going to be this fix, mm-hmm. when what it's really doing is creating a dependency on a death industry that's creating destruction across the world, and then normalising that presence and then using young people as an opportunity to create these employment pathways so that they then depend on this manufacturing supply chain that's causing death and destruction. So it's a really evil arrangement that they then normalise as being an opportunity for the region.
Yeah, it's so dark, and it goes hand in hand with, you know, what Lucy and Ivka were talking about before, like when, you know, the government makes a decision not to fund public schools and provide them with facilities and programs and quality education. They get that instead from weapons manufacturers who then are able to influence young people directly and, like you said, create that dependence. And also dependence on an industry that's not only causing harm to people, but we know that, like, the military causes a release of so much, is the number one reason for, you know, climate destruction in terms of, like, emissions and the destruction of land and wildlife and everything like that. So it's all interconnected. My last question, Nat, for you is about Disrupt Land Forces. There's a rally planned for this Thursday outside the Hanwha headquarters as part of DLF. Can you just tell our listeners a bit about the action and where they can find out more information?
Yeah, so the rally has been called by the Albert Out of Victoria campaign and the Weapons Out of Avalon campaign, which are two campaigns initiated by the Free Palestine Coalition, NAM. And so we've seen Disrupt Land Forces as an opportunity for us to begin to, I guess, educate the broader public about the presence of Hanwha in the Avalon region and the arrangement that Hanwha has with Albert Systems. And so the rally is on Thursday the 12th this week at 4:30pm at Hunwa headquarters, and that's at 550 Burke Street. And we're going to have many contingents there protesting the presence of Hunwa in the Avalon region outside their headquarters in the CBD. And, yeah, we really encourage as many people to come as possible. We're going to have a great lineup of speakers. You can head to the Free Palestine Coalition Instagram page to see the speakers. And we're really going to be calling on the government to end the militarisation of Australia, to fund communities, not bombs. We want Albert out of Victoria. We want Hunwa out of Victoria. We want all weapons out of Avalon, weapons out of Victoria. You know, we can see that there's a real kind of gap in terms of where the funding is being allocated, and the government can no longer get away with manufacturing this idea of funding scarcity when they're providing funding to these weapons companies, these privately owned weapons companies, to build things, to build this equipment for the army, to build these bombs and these weapons that are used across the world in Palestine.
For sure. Yeah, thank you so much, Nat. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for, but thanks so much for joining us on today's show.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we've been speaking to Nat Kalija, educator, researcher and organiser. Nat has just been telling us about the relationship between Hunwa Defence Australia and Elbit Systems. For more information on the upcoming rally that Nat just spoke about, you can go to Disrupt Land Forces on Instagram or teachersforpalestine_Vic. So that's this Thursday at 550 Burke Street at 4:30pm. And following the rally, there'll be a vigil for Gaza held at Batman Park at 6:30.